Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Beauduin, Chief Executive Officer, Thierry Navarre, Chief Operating Officer, and Jacques Pernod, Chief Financial Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statement applies to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Charles Beauduin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our 2017 results conference call. Joining me today is our CFO, Jacques Pernod, our CEO, Thierry Navarre, and our Head of Investor Relations, Philippe Ludwig. Today, our prepared remarks will differ a little bit from previous results call. I'd like to start by putting things in perspective with a few minutes reflecting on our progress so far on the journey of becoming a leading international consumer goods company. Next, of course, I'll update you on our first year of Ontex Brazil, which we acquired a year ago last March. Then we'll highlight some aspects of our 2017 performance and 2018 outlook before taking your questions. So let's start on slide five. It's already been 5 years since I joined Ontex. I wanted to use this opportunity to recall the objectives we set out for ourselves and how the transformation of Ontex is progressing. In early 2013, Ontex was primarily a Western European manufacturer of high-quality products in baby care, adult incontinence, and feminine care for leading retailers so that they could compete with the limited number of international brands in Western Europe. The success Ontex had built over more than 30 years was due to its culture, a family business, entrepreneurial mindset, tight control of costs, and strong operating skills. These capabilities helped Ontex to be, by far, the largest supplier of retailer brands in Western Europe, together with a branded adult inco business in institutional channels, again in Western Europe, and a branded business in Turkey and surrounding countries. Yet, the owners believed that the company could develop further by moving into new markets where category growth was higher than the home region of Western Europe. With the exception of North America, retailers in these new markets do not look for retailer brands, so that new landscape features the new Ontex with international brands and local brands. The challenge was to take this successful manufacturing company and add new sales and marketing capabilities, putting consumers and customers at the center of the company, but also strengthen the supporting functions, such as HR, finance, while moving from a highly leveraged privately held company to a lower leverage equity-listed company ready to enter new regions organically or via mergers and acquisitions. What you see on slide five are some, but not all, of the metrics which reflect progress in our journey. On the first line, you see the revenue evolution. This is a 12% CAGR, reflecting the geographic diversity, limiting our reliance on any regions as we move from three to five regions with a more diversified customer base, but of course also more complexity and more currencies to deal with. On the second line, you see the evolution in terms of profitability. We increased by an 11 CAGR. improvement in profitability reflects also our investments, the fact that we invest more on people and on structure to prepare for our future growth. This reflects also the fact that in the last 3 years, we had to absorb more than 50 million euro of Forex and commodities headwinds impacting our bottom line. We have also increased our Ontex brands, being less reliant on any brand, trends moving towards local brands that are meaningful to local consumers, moving 38% of our Ontex brands close to 50%. Geographic diversification has been boosted by moving into new markets, either organically in countries like Russia, Algeria, Pakistan, Ethiopia, but also through acquisition, like Italy with Serenity, Mexico, Central America with Grupo Mabe, and more recently, Brazil. Not shown here, but also very important in my mind to note that our management team and our team is a blend of deep Ontex experience, complemented by a lot of new people with commercial, HR, finance, marketing skills, mainly from blue chip FMCG companies, who are attracted by the culture of Ontex. And I can guarantee you this is easier today than 5 years ago. Well, of course, this is just a sample of a few things we have accomplished so far. It's important to keep in mind, behind the performance we report each quarter, each year, that we are in a multi-year process of transforming Ontex, where our knowledge and experience is gathering speed to be even more successful in a fast-changing environment. Now, after providing that perspective, I'd like to turn to slide 7, just to focus on what keeps us busy at the moment, Brazil. Not a surprise, I'm sure. 1 year ago, we completed the acquisition of Hipermarca's personal hygiene business. We were and remain very positive on entering the fourth largest personal hygiene market in the world. I confirm that is strategically the right decision. This deal meets all our criteria. 100% branded business outside of Western Europe and the leader in adult incontinence. The fastest growing category from a smaller base, though, than the other categories. Together with our successful acquisition of Mabe in Mexico, Brazil reinforces our second growth platform in the Americas, next to our strong European platform. In 2 years' time, we've built our second largest division from zero. Our integration plans on R&D and innovation are fully on track, despite the first year of ownership being more difficult than expected. And we are fully committed to make Ontex Brazil a success, just like the many acquisitions before that have been an integral part of the success of Ontex since 1979, and more specifically, the largest acquisitions since 2013. Now, let's move to slide 8, and let me share with you an update since our first year of ownership. It is fair to say that the first year didn't exactly go as we planned. In fact, it was very disappointing with a difficult finish. The country has gone through some heavy turbulences the past year or two, politically and economically, which has had an effect on consumer confidence and purchasing habits, as well as the value of the currency. Moving to Ontex Brazil, we knew that integrating a carved-out new company would be complex. Had to see the fact that our management team was just in place but mid-year, slightly later than planned. On the positive side, we've seen our team continue to capture growth in adult inco with our market-leading brand Bigfra. And at the end of 2017, we already launched Moviment, our new Brazilian brand of unisex pull-ups that are ideal for active adults with moderate and severe urinary incontinence. However, it is fair to recognize that in baby diapers, the largest category, there was a decrease of market value in 2017 after growth in 2016, essentially due to pricing from the two international brands. Between announcing the deal in December 16 and completing in March 17, the business lost significant share, more than 4 percentage points, and the levels of product inventory in the trade was far above normal levels. In this situation, our team was able to stabilize the market share and even start to increase during the rest of 2017, although it remains below 2016 levels. In late 17, local management became aware of an issue of trade spending, in which customers were asking to be paid as they had agreed with their sales contacts. These engagements were above the budgeted levels and importantly had been given over previous months without being entered into our information technology system. This issue was rapidly elevated in the group, and we immediately launched a full internal review, which led us to understand this practice was not an isolated case, and we determined that we would need to book a 15 million euro charge to revenue down to the bottom line in December 17. Of course, as you can imagine, this is a great disappointment, and we have promptly taken significant actions to address and resolve the situation, including first changing the trade spending process in terms of control, adapting the incentive scheme of the sales team, as well as some disciplinary actions with some key sales managers who left the company. Let me be very clear. This was not something that was visible during the due diligence, nor during the year until the end. And these practices didn't respect the trade spend guidelines that were in place and known by the sales force. We are putting the necessary resources and focus into Ontex Brazil to restore the performance, and this will take some time given these recent developments. But despite the disappointment in the first year and realization that 2018 will still be challenging, we are excited to be in Brazil and confident that this business will contribute to the success of Ontex over the long term. Now, let's move to slide 10 to review the highlights of 2017 on the balance of the business, which is 90% of our revenue. Well, quite simply, we had an outstanding like-for-like revenue performance of plus 5.5%, with all categories and divisions achieving growth. In particular, I would like to recognize our mature market retail team, who strongly rebounded from 2016, where like-for-like revenue declined. Actually, the strong 2017 like-for-like growth of 5.1% was in part due to actions taken during 16, which led to winning attractive new businesses, as well as ongoing support to our existing customers and helping them to grow their business. And for those who followed us in 16, this is exactly what we thought that would happen in 17. Jacques will comment on this shortly, but the underlying adjusted EBITDA margin, excluding Brazil, was very resilient due to strong top-line growth and saving and efficiencies, part of our Ontex DNA, despite some supply chain cost challenges driven by the top-line growth. We spend the bulk of our time on the business, but I also need to recognize the major improvement achieved in a refinancing of our debt, which will deliver earnings and cash benefits going forward. earnings will also benefit from a lower tax rate. Again, Jacques will elaborate on both of these topics. We have always said we aim to achieve sustainable, profitable growth. And in 2017, we again took some decisions to do so. In July, we opened our first ever production site in sub-Saharan Africa, in Ethiopia, one of the largest markets in Africa, with more than 3 million babies per year, and where we are the only local producer, helping moms and families to get access to high-quality diapers, strengthening our position there. Also in mid-2017, we opened a new and larger production site in Russia, moving nearby, but replacing the smaller site and showing our commitment to locally producing to meet our growing demand in this market. In early October, we announced a new production facility in Poland, where our customers have enjoyed high growth with their retailer brands. This plant will allow Ontex to optimize production processes and service our Polish and international customers and consumers even better. These are just a few examples next to our investments in equipment in increasing capacity of faster-growing products such as baby pants and adult pull-ups, which should underpin our future outperformance. I skipped the part on market share, but I can't resist to tell you also that our shares have improved in most of the markets where we operate, with of course some exceptions in baby category, such as Brazil, Turkey, and Russia. We also grew our share in incontinence on our branded business in Brazil, in Mexico, in Turkey, and also we grew our share on retail brands in every category. So, how did we do that? It's also by fostering and encouraging and accelerating growth via innovations across the company. Slide 11 highlights some of the innovations which were behind our strong growth in 2017 and will help in 2018. Let me start with MENA, Chanbebe. Another significant upgrade by the move to FlexFit core technology, a thin and extra dry baby diaper for comfort day and night. This brings the successful core technology already used in our mature market division and growth market divisions, showing how we create synergies between historical Ontex manufacturing footprints and our acquired business as the one from MENA. The technology is developed with Ontex engineered equipment using internal engineering capabilities. We customize it with local features such as the unique front and back barriers for extra leak protection. The new product performed very well in blind testing versus the previous Chanbebe product and was launched last November, helping us to compete in a very competitive and challenging market. In healthcare, we launch a new product, ID Advanced Light, the invisible protection that fits your active lifestyle, a unique and breakthrough woman's pad, thinner than several leading brands and still absorbing 10 times its own weight. In America's retail, Baby Tip Bronze addresses first-time parents and provides an information platform with parenting tips and ideas. Baby Tips has been upgraded to now give extra care by addition of a unique containing, amongst other, calendula flower, which is also known by consumers as a skin healing ingredient. The Baby Tip sensitive diapers with this emollient have proven in a clinical study by the National Pediatric Institute in Mexico to prevent skin rash. Finally, in MMR, our largest division, consumers rank long-lasting diaper dryness very highly as they seek best value for money. We launch a new channel technology for our retailer customers which combines better fluid distribution with better breathability and faster absorption rates. With 12 hours of dry filling and no sagging, it matches the quality and performance of the market leader at a lower price. Now, on slide 12, I will highlight the outstanding revenue performance in 17. As in the past, our revenue growth is volume driven. Though I would also like to highlight that in a tough pricing environment, the impact of price and mix on our revenue was very limited, in part due to price increases we took in some areas during 17. Forex remained negative in 17, although less than the year before. The bottom right chart shows the consistent like-for-like revenue growth we delivered across the year. What drove this? Mid-single-digit growth in mature markets, significantly ahead of underlying market growth, with the bulk of it coming from higher volumes, which is great to see. We also saw solid double-digit like-for-like growth in our Americas retail division, driven by our portfolio of local brands. Americas retail division being our second largest division. Now, on slide 17, this presents the broad-based like-for-like revenue growth across all three categories. So let's start with baby care. Like-for-like revenue was up 6.3% due to a good performance across both our branded and retailer brand offering. Performance in this category has been underpinned by baby pants, which is seeing disproportionately higher growth than open diaper. Given the growth potential, our focus remains on ensuring that we have capacity in place and are best positioned to benefit from these market shifts. Hence, we'll incur a significant acceleration in capacity ramp-up on the pants category. On adult inco, like-for-like revenue for the category was up 5.2% on a like-for-like basis. 10% growth in retail channels, where Ontex enjoys leading branded positions in Brazil, Mexico, and Turkey, as well as the largest supplier of retailer brands in Western Europe. Institutional channels, being in the healthcare division, also delivered good growth. Within the adult inco category, adult pull-ups enjoyed faster growth than other, the open adult diaper, and we are investing to capture this ongoing growth as well. Finally, on femcare, our smallest category, we are pleased to see the performance of 2017 with a plus 4.2% like-for-like growth. The growth was ahead of the market and primarily due to new business gains with leading retailers to supply retailer branded feminine care products. Well, after covering a part of the performance, I would like now to turn the call over to Jacques for an overview of the financial performance. Jacques.
Yeah. Thank you, Charles. Good morning, everyone. We will now make a jump to the slide 20 for the financial highlights. As you heard, Charles has covered the revenue performance, so I will move directly to adjusted EBITDA. So it's middle of the slide. The growth has been of 7.1% in 2017 on a reported basis, and it included Ontex Brazil since the 1st of March. The reported margin is 11.3%. The Ontex business, excluding Ontex Brazil, remained very resilient, with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 12%, driven by strong top-line growth and ongoing savings and efficiencies across the group. However, as mentioned in the trading update of January 30, the adjusted EBITDA margin of Ontex Brazil was far below our expectations at 3.8%. I will cover the net debt and cash flow later, so I would ask you to move now to the review of EBITDA margin on slide 21. The gross margin was down 47 basis points to 28.9% in 17, with significant external headwinds, including raw materials and forex. The increase in raw material prices was significantly higher than what we had anticipated initially. While we absorbed some additional manufacturing expenses resulting from the strong top-line growth and capacity constraint. The gross margin was also impacted, as you guess, by the $15 million charge in Brazil in December. On the positive side, we managed to offset a large part of those headwinds through internal savings and efficiencies, as we always have. Regarding adjusted EBITDA, our reported margin was down 117 basis points to 11.3%. Why? It's because on top of the negative impacts affecting our gross margin, we also had temporary pressure on our supply chain, so the logistic, leading to a 24% increase in distribution expenses. These pressures are expected to start to unwind in H2 of this year, so H2 2018, as new capacity comes online. In addition, we continued investing in our selling and marketing capabilities, which were up 30% year-on-year, in line with our ambition of becoming a leading global consumer goods company. Finally, the forex headwind in 2017 essentially appeared in the second half of the year and was primarily due to weakness of the British pound and the Turkish lira. So now, let's move to slide 22, to the adjusted free cash flow. It was down 46% year-on-year. As I have just discussed, the adjusted EBITDA grew 7.1% year-on-year in 2017. The working capital on the balance sheet at end December represented 11.3% of revenue, in line with our guided range. However, there was a cash outflow due to the buildup of trade receivables at Ontex Brazil. It's linked to the carve-out and was expected. It was also obviously factored into the cash consideration we paid for the company. Excluding this one-time impact, adjusted free cash flow would have been 15% lower instead of 46% lower. On the CapEx front, our investments represented 4.8% of group sales. As you know, this is a slight increase compared to our historical guided range of 3.5 to 4%. We indicated back in H1 that CapEx was expected to be around 5% of sales, mainly due to investment program foreseen at Ontex Brazil and in Mexico. In addition, as the base business continued to grow, and you've seen growing very fast, so did our CapEx, among others, to support innovation, efficiencies, and bring the necessary upgrades to expand production capacity for faster-growing, margin-accretive products. Finally, there was an increase in cash tax, which resulted primarily from a timing difference for taxes paid in Mexico compared to last year. All in all, the lower cash generation in 2017 was largely anticipated and was impacted by some one-time effects which would not recur in 2018, like the receivable buildup in Brazil or the cash tax timing. Now, to conclude this financial review, let's move to slide 23 for the net debt and leverage. At the end of December, total net debt amounted to 744 million euros and a leverage 2.79, so very much in line with our plan. Important to highlight that we successfully refinanced our debt, as Charles mentioned. Our balance sheet now includes 600 million of syndicated loan, as well as 300 million revolving credit facility, with maturities extended out to 2022. We also entered into a facilities agreement for 250 million, due in 2024. As you can see on the graph, this refinancing meaningfully extends our maturity profile. Furthermore, we will see enhanced earnings and cash generation of approximately 10 million before tax from 2018 on, and it's better than what was anticipated. Importantly, our interest rate risk is largely hedged in line with our hedging policy, so which means we are protected on the interest rates. Let me say I'm very pleased that we achieved this excellent result, another confirmation that we're making big progress at Ontex in managing our financing and our balance sheet. I would now like to hand it back to Charles for the outlook. Charles, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jacques. So let's move to our outlook for 2018. This is slide 28. Try to be as specific as possible, and I start with the priorities and then try to give you more flavors on the year 2018. We have defined three overarching priorities for 2018. Firstly, our top priority will be to achieve sustainable improvements in our Brazil business. As previously mentioned, Ontex Brazil is a key part of our long-term growth, and we remain confident that we will realize its full potential. Second, we also aim to delivering another year of resilient performance in the Ontex business outside of Brazil, which represents more or less 90% of our business, based on our outlook for the external environment in 2018. Finally, we also will continue investing in initiatives to support profitable growth. We have demonstrated strong growth momentum during 2017, and I believe there is still a lot to capture in the markets where we play. Now, try to give you probably not figures, but be more specific. In challenging markets, we expect and we are gearing the company to provide a better balance between top line and profitability in 2018. On the top line, we expect a low single digit like-for-like revenue growth in broadly flat or slightly declining hygiene markets. That's the markets where we operate. After a lower first half of the year, which is in Q1, Q2, we anticipate a sequential improvement in adjusted EBITDA margins in the second half of the year, as our actions across all aspects of the business, including pricing, mix, and cost savings, increasingly take effect. This means that profitability will have a hockey stick shape over the four quarters, reflecting the operating improvements. Our commitment to improve our margins over time is unchanged. We will work through the short-term challenges we are facing while making sure that our long-term objectives remain fully intact. Now, with that, I would now like to hand the call back to the operator and take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Ian Simpson from Societe Generale. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. A few questions, if I may. So firstly, just digging into the detail on margins, did you take all of the Brazil charge in your gross margins? So would your gross margins have been slightly up ex-Brazil? And then on an ex-Brazil basis, your 2017 EBITDA margins were down on 13. Now, I know you were looking to expand margins by 30 bips a year, but should we just think of 12% or so as being the structural profitability of your business going forwards? If I've read your guidance correctly, it sounds like group EBITDA margins will probably be flat or down in 2018 as a whole. And then secondly, why didn't you spot these Brazil issues at the time of acquisition? What needs to change with your due diligence for future deals so this doesn't happen again? And structurally, what can you do with Brazil now? Thank you very much.
Okay, so a lot of questions, and you speak very fast, so we try to make sure that we capture all of them. So the first one was... You said, we give detail on margin. Did we take all the Brazil charge in the gross margin in 17 for 18? So I will, on this one, let Jacques answer.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. So, yes, we have taken the 15 million in our gross margin. By the way, this 15 million, we are completely confident that it does cover the full charge. Really, we have made internal audits and we have had our external auditors reviewing. So we are confident on this one. And yes, if we had not had this 15 million charge, our gross margin would have increased proportionally. Yeah.
So your second question was referring to the fact that indeed, excluding Brazil, our EBITDA margin is at 12%. Your question was, is it the structural run rate of our profitability? And so this one, Jacques, you want to take it, or
yeah.
I will add something?
I can start. I mean, when you see the headwinds we have been absorbing this year, you could call it a perfect storm, because we had the commodities, very high headwind in commodities. We had Forex, as I said, especially in the second half. And as you know, we have also the pressure, it's general pressure on the market, on the pricing. And despite all of that, we have been resilient. So we are confident that bringing on new capacity, innovation, is going to allow us to continue our way forward. Obviously, these headwinds, we have to absorb them, take them into account, which means that if over time we still see an improvement of our margin, we can have, during some years like 2017, a slowdown or even a stop in our growth on margins.
So to add on Jacques' point, because you reflect to something that was at the IPO, and I think it's a sticky comment, so I think it's a fair one, is the 30 bips margin improvement. So I'd like to give you some perspective on that one. When we listed the company, nobody, including ourselves, would know the sequence of acquisition we would make going forward. And of course, in the next 3-5 years, we have target companies, but we don't know which one will arrive first, second, and third. And yours. What we said, it is clear that our ambition is to improve structurally our EBITDA margin, like every company, not a surprise, And for those who were at the IPO, what we said is over the course of 10 years, directionally, we would move from 11.5 to 14.5% EBITDA margin or something like this. And we said if you divide this by 10 years, it's on an average 30 basis points. We also said at the time that it would not be a linear straight line and that there would be a bumpy road like we expect in every businesses because you have what exactly Jacques described, Forex implications, headwinds on raw materials, lots of things happening. The second element is, and that was very hard probably, and we probably did a mistake when we expressed it at the time, was by definition, we want to still be a consolidator of this fragmented industry. Being a consolidator means making acquisitions in lots of markets where we are not, to take strong positions, leading position, whether it's in Inco or baby diaper or other categories, with mainly branded business. What happens is lots of those businesses have an EBITDA margin that is dilutive to Ontex to start with, mainly because lots of them are family businesses, or mainly because the people are really running for top-line growth and they are investing or over-investing or are less efficient than we are. And the consequence of this path of acquisition translates into a kind of negative waterfall in the first year of the acquisition, where the business becomes dilutive, and then we know that over time we'll bring it back to the average of the company and then accretive. But it takes time to realize the full power and benefits from the synergies or the full power of benefit of the leverage of the company. So the net is by definition when you do this, you see that mechanically there is an upgrade of the profitability that will come step by step just by improving the low performing countries and bringing them to a higher level and trying of course to maintain the high performing profitable countries. So this is our daily focus. So this will not change, and we are committed to that. Now, the reality is, by definition, when you take a business that is supposedly to be accretive and is dilutive in year one, you can suspect that it takes slightly more time to bring it back to the average and above the average. And this is exactly why we provided you with two figures, which is the overall EBITDA margin of the business and the one without Brazil. Brazil, as a first year, is significantly dilutive. If you look at the business excluding Brazil, yes, the EBITDA margin is 12%. Yes, we have big headwinds in terms of Forex and commodities. And the consequence of this is we consider that we have been highly resilient, especially in the light of a significant price war on lots of markets where we operate. So our commitment remains clearly unchanged. Now, I would encourage you not to be stuck with the 30 bips per year, because by definition, any type of acquisition or any type of things that happens that is something new, so inorganic, is changing the rhythm of this movement. Now, the last question, if I got, because initially it was four, but I think we combined the two answers, two questions in one. The last, if I recall, was why we didn't spot this in the due diligence, and what are the learnings for the future, which I think I can guarantee you is a very valid question. And by definition, this is something that we look at it carefully. So I don't know if...
Jacques, I can cover it, but just
as a starting point is, of course, it's always easier to be smarter after than before, as a starting point. And what matters, as you rightly pointed out, is to take the learnings and the lessons to avoid to do it twice. Because then the learning is painful, but at least we learn. Second is sometimes things are not visible. And Jacques, I'll let you comment on that one.
So when you look at what is at stake, you see that we had to book trade spends which were never brought into the system. So they were hidden. It's obviously against the internal control regulation of the company. And by the way, we have taken the necessary measures to course correct, let's say. At due diligence, it could not have been seen except by visiting the customers and getting from them the actual trade spent with them. Now, looking forward, what we have put in place, we have obviously increased the internal controls and systems. Second, some people have left the company. Third, we are now circularizing the customers on a regular basis to make sure there is no differences and nothing stays hidden. Fourth, we have changed the compensation scheme of the sales team in order to prevent that to happen again. Other lessons learned, is probably that an earn-out in an acquisition, what we did in Mabe, is certainly best practice. We did it also, by the way, in Serenity when we made the acquisition in Italy. And I would say earn-out is probably a best practice for the future. So I hope it does answer your question.
Thank you very much. That's extremely generous with your time. Just one minor point of clarity, because I think you've got everything there apart from one. Looking at your guidance, I interpret that as meaning that EBITDA margins will probably be flat or slightly down 18 on 17, because you talk about it being down in the first half and then sequentially improving in the second half. Have I interpreted you correctly?
I would say we don't give figures, but my comment would be in 2017, we have delivered an average of 11.3% with only 10 months of dilutive Brazil. So it allows you to make your best guess.
Which is more or less in line with your
what
guess.
You said. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
We don't hear you. Sorry.
Please go ahead, Richard Withagen. Your line is open.
All right. Thank you. It's Richard Withagen at Kepler Cheuvreux. I've got two questions. First of all, there's obviously on Brazil, there's a lot of focus on the customer discounts, but I reckon that's not the only issue. So can you be a bit more explicit on what actions you are taking to improve the business in Brazil? And what are you changing in terms of product offering in Brazil? And the second question is, what do you expect in 2018 with regards to CapEx? Will it also be more or less in line with the level we've seen in 2017? And should we also expect any major changes in working capital?
Okay, so I will let Thierry take the first question, which is the focus. We focus on customer discount, but you said it's not the only issue, so we'll provide you with the full picture again and discuss about the product offerings or what we do to accelerate our return to growth. And I think you will start also the second question about the CapEx level for 18 versus 17. I will cover the two topics, so Thierry, the floor.
Good morning, everyone. So back on the Brazil, clearly the customer discounts issues is the biggest one we faced. Most importantly for us is the one which wasn't foreseen. So when we look at the rest of the plan and the business case that we had for Brazil, it's pretty much in line with what we expected, and the plan is being rolled out as was designed. Specifically, when you look at the operation side, where the big challenge was to renew this operational platform, which was not invested for quite a while, and we mentioned that at the moment of the acquisition. So The new equipments are on their way, and we are also rolling out some TPM programs, so total productive maintenance programs on key bottleneck machines in order to increase efficiencies on some key categories where we are under pressure. And we are also rolling out some of the efficiency programs that we've got across the group. And for that, we are sending across some of the experts that we have on the on our group in order to help them to speed up the ramp up. But what is key for us now is not only to deliver the programs and operations that we had before, but to accelerate it. And so which will help to get efficiency up sooner than what foreseen, and also to get our new product on the market sooner than foreseen initially. So that's on the operation side. On the product side, we are also making a lot of progress on linked to cost savings in re-engineering product in line with our innovations pipelines that we have across the group. And this is also, let's say, reapplied to our Brazilian business. On the commercial side, you've heard already. You know, we've contained the issues. We've made some improved controls, and recover also some part of it. And then we are on the way now to get onto the improved part of the plan, where we will make sure that we change the business practice on a structural point of view on the commercial front. When we look at the CapEx, we indicated it already for a couple of quarters. 2017 was close to the 5%. We finished at 4.8%. And we foresee to have the same types of level for 2018 as we continue to invest into our innovations and also catching up on our capacity, which has been eating us on 2017, having, as Jacques was mentioning, a heavy impact onto our logistic cost on one side. But not only that, the lack of capacity that we have experienced as having also an impact on the efficiency on our machinery, because it's totally disrupting the operation. And also it has had an impact on some of the penalties needed to be paid to customers for non-deliveries. And those type of investment that we're making should unroll these issues on the second half of the year, as was specified by Jacques.
There was a last bit on working capital. And working capital, you know, we have given a guidance of 12% of net sales. And this year we have again showed that we were able to maintain this guidance. So I think for all you models, it's better to keep it. You have to know that next to this, we are obviously starting some program to improve that step by step. But again, for your models, I would advise you to use the 12%.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Alan Vandenberg from KBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my questions. I would like to come back again on the margin of the business. Just to be clear and to understand it correctly, given the 15 million euro adjustment you took in Brazil, is it correct to assume that the average full year 17 EBITDA margin of 3.8 is a good starting point for full year 18? Can it find due course return towards group type of margins, and how fast do you expect this to happen? And related to that, the group margin was 9.1 in 4Q, 10.3 in the second half of 17. How do you expect margin in the first half of 18 to compare with these two reference points, and what type of sequential improvement is possible between 1H and 2H. So that was on the margin, and then I have a question on the like-for-like growth. Do you expect significant differences between like-for-like growth in H1 and H2? Maybe H1 has slightly easier comps. And then maybe a last question on the gross profit margin, which is down 47 basis points year on year. Can you maybe bridge the evolution with the main components being the impact of savings, raw mat impact, and foreign exchange impact? And how do you see gross margin evolving in 2018? Thank you.
So what a long list of questions. You speak very fast, so that enable you to get a lot of data or requests. That's very smart. So the first one I will let Jack start with it. But if I try to summarize your first question, really is on the Brazil is what is the starting point of 18 versus 17, and what is the new reset of the profitability versus, unfortunately, what we were expecting. Jacques, you want to cover that one first?
Yeah, so indeed 3.8, you say, the average for the year. What we see, it's obviously we have only started this year or in 17 to put in place improvement programs. So that's why we expect an improvement for Brazil in 2018 versus 2017. It's going to be obviously completely skewed towards H2, potentially even to quarter four, because you need not only to put the machine in place, but to get the ramp up and to really get it up and rolling. So improvement on Brazil, but completely skewed towards the end of the year. When you compare, you're saying end of 2017, so Q4 and the second half, I could say that it could be kind of a mirror type of evolution. Q1 18 is going to be challenging, very challenging, because we see important raw material increase, which is hitting our Q1 18. And the Q2 should see an improvement versus Q1, with keeping H1 challenging, and then an increase in H2. An increase in H2 coming from where? From the fact our savings program will be fully running. Capacity will come step by step on stream, which should improve our manufacturing cost, but also our logistic cost. And we would start having some pricing impacts. So all of this together allows us to be more confident in H2 to see an improvement.
Now, the last part was a very detailed request on the gross margin and the source of it, which even if I leave the floor to Jacques, I doubt will give such level of detail, because it's not that we don't want to share it with you, but we don't want to share with competition and everybody else. So that's something very sensitive, as you can imagine.
Yeah. As you know, it's obviously that we have a very important, like all competitors have highlighted, by the way, that they had also big raw material impact. It's the same for us. You can look at indices and see how fast they increase. Obviously, we are able to compensate part of that through our procurement initiatives. But Forex has been also a hit, has been a hit lower than what it was last year. Let's say, when I said last year, then in 16. 16 had been a very, very important Forex hit, with, on the other hand, a positive raw materials impact. 17 has been completely different, with a very heavy impact on raw materials and a more modest Forex impact. And as you know, the positive for us in all of that is that we build on volumes. So pricing has been, as you can imagine, has not been a key element of our gross margin evolution, but more volumes.
Okay, thank you for your answer. I just had one extra question, which you didn't answer yet, regarding the like-for-like growth. Is there a reason to expect fundamentally different type of like-for-like growth between 1H and 2H18?
Let Thierry answer that one.
There will be some differences into the different regions, but actually when you look at the overall group on the H1 versus the H2, we are still on what we said of the guidance is a kind of a low single-digit growth that we're expecting, and not so huge material differences on H1 versus H2.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Faham Beg from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, just a couple of questions from me, please. Firstly, coming back to baby pants, can I understand what percentage of your portfolio is now baby pants, and what capacity constraints you're facing there, and how you expect to increase capacity on that front, and when we should expect capacity to increase on that front? That's the first question. And then I guess this is for Charles specifically. Charles, if we look at the last 5 years, you went through in your first few slides that Ontex is a much different company than it was when it IPO'd. It's probably a more branded business, a more emerging market business, and probably a better business for shareholders to own. But if we look at the last 5 years, what would you have done differently over the last 5 years?
Okay, that's very clear. So I will let Thierry answer the first one, which is a very important question on baby pants, and then I'll take the second one as you point me out, so I have no choice on answering the second one.
Yeah, indeed, the baby pants categories, and we mentioned it before, has been growing over proportionally, I would say disproportionately, compared to anybody would have thought. And when you look at the last, I would say, 18 months, it has taken more and more share into the baby category, and the international leaders has been driving that growth, and the market has been pretty receptive to a product which is quite quite helpful in usage when you get access to it. And so the growth in the portfolio is increasing quarter after quarter. Depending on the regions, it can range from 10 to 20% of the portfolio. And as those machineries have been machineries that we were not producing ourselves, the lead time has been a little bit longer than necessary in order to catch up. That's why we've been kind of lagging behind in terms of putting the right capacity to catch up on the baby pants. But clearly, this is a priority on the operational front, and capacity has started to land, and will continue gradually to ramp up in the different areas where this category is increasing, because we see the increase of these categories actually overall, as well in the mature market than in some specific emerging market, which is quite interesting. Given that the price positioning compared to the open diapers is a higher one, but actually the penetrations goes pretty quick when there is a good positioning of the product. So now Charles, so,
yeah, thank you, Thierry. So well, I was thinking it was good that Thierry was talking, because I was thinking on what should I have done differently. There's probably, I would say, there's on one side the communication, on the other side is the internal part of it. On the internal part of it, in all fairness, I believe that being very impatient and willing to go very fast, I think I underestimate the time needed to transform the company. So I think we are transforming it at a fast pace, but at a lower pace than I was
thinking about it. So if I had to write this again, I would be probably slightly more optimistic or ambitious in the way we set the targets to accelerate the transformation. Even though that if I look backward, I was really planning to double the size of the company every 5 years. I think we are slightly below, and that's probably a miss versus... So what I would have done differently is probably be slightly more conservative. That leads me to the second part, and that's a very candid answer, and is the when we listed the company. So it's, the 5 years is the sequence of the first part that is private equity owned, and then after a listed company, and my background was coming from listed company. I underestimate the weight of the quarters, very honestly. My journey in the transformation and the time horizon was really 10 years, and that's probably a mistake sometimes because people are more impatient or looking at every quarter very extensively. And the truth is when I look at the transformation, it's like in racing on tracks. You look at the exit of the curve if you want to pass the curve fast. You don't look at the entrance of the curve. And I'm looking at the 10 years permanently. And what is true is I realize that some people look at the next 3 months. And it's true that the consequence of this is sometimes you underestimate the level of stress that you transfer to the others because everybody is expecting something like for tomorrow. And in fact, I'm still looking at the long term. Now, just to reassure you, at least it's not because I'm looking at the 10 years that I'm not putting a heavy pressure on fixing things very shortly. And for those who know me very well, I don't leave a lot of space on the short term to make things happen. And I'm very competitive, so this doesn't change. But it's clear that sometimes from a communication standpoint, I suspect that people probably, this could lead to people believing, the improvement on margin is not coming or at the same pace. And then is he realistic or is he just dreaming? I'm not a dreamer on this one. It's very clear. But what is clear is I'm not also ready to burn things, to do things crazy, to fix it too fast. Why? Because the company is there for 100 years or more, and our role is to, for one period of time, to really succeed in the transformation for the long term. So perhaps I would have built the... It's easier after, but perhaps I would have built slightly at a lower pace the organization, which is, of course, increasing the cost. If you look at this, when I told you the CAGR of top line is 12% and CAGR on EBITDA is 11%, you could argue if you had a lower structure or a smaller one, then you could have increased your profitability faster. But given the ambition, we started with the team and we said, okay, we need to get a strong team, which I really believe we have. And this is the investment we made. Now, one thing I would not have done differently, because you say, what should I have done differently? I'll tell you also what would I have not done differently is the recruitment that we have made in the last 5 years and the fact that most of Ontex people before the 5 years are still there, for me, is the most important part of the success of the company. And I'm, if there's one piece I'm very proud of is that most of Ontex people, white collar, blue collar, that were there before 2013 are still there, and they have been part of the success before, and they will be part of the success after. And those who joined since 2013, I really believe that they joined for a project, a vision, a purpose that is there, and I hope that they are there. And I see them very committed and very passionate about the business. And, of course, it's challenging times right now, but it's in those times that you see the power of the people to unlock the challenges.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Fernand de Boer from Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. I have three questions, if I may. Is one, to come back on the margins, because of the 50 million charts, I think it's actually an adjustment, and therefore on the second and third quarter, should you adjust that, restate that quarters, and if you then are still seeing lower margins in the first half? That's one question. The second one is on Middle East, North Africa, of Turkey, actually. Could you tell us how the competitive situation there is at the moment? And the last question is on, you mentioned the higher distribution costs, which were temporarily. Could you give us some idea about the amount of this higher cost? And you said, actually, this will fade away in the second half, but how quickly will it go?
Okay, so first question is on the 15 million charge adjustments, and then the consequence if you restate the full year with this, because it's accumulated charge in December, which is a very valid comment. So we'll let Jack answer that one. And I, for the MENA and the higher distribution cost, I will let Thierry answer those two questions.
Okay. So, Fernando, thank you for the question. And by the way, you are bang on. No? It's this 15 million are, in fact, they count for the full year. So, even if apparently, from what we have seen, there has been a different moment in the year, but you're right, this should be spread across the year. So, that's why looking at the full year profitability that one of your predecessors said is the right was the right view for to look at Brazil. So December and the quarter four alone was obviously not representative of an ongoing profitability.
So I'm taking now the MENA questions, and specifically on the Turkey, we were referring to that market, which actually, that's right, in the MENA geography has got a very specific dynamic the last 18 months. And I would say a specific dynamic, specifically again, into the baby diapers area. And into the baby diapers area, it's a market under huge pressure, where actually we are suffering. We are suffering as well as the two other top three historical players. The market in itself is slightly increasing, essentially driven by the discounters, whereas all the rest of the market is actually declining in terms of channel. And within the discounters, BIM having more than 80% of this channel, they are producing themselves, so which remains not a big part of the market that is going to us or the other players. So clearly, we've been losing shares in baby diapers. The only slight comfort is that we have been losing less shares than the two other big players. But this is not a great comfort, to be honest. What has been happening there is that you've got local players which were only looking at export for more than 90% of the business, which because of the geopolitical instability in the area were not able to have their business into countries like Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and so on. And this has made them refocus onto the Turkish market big time, because in the meantime they had invested into nice equipment, by the way, because we visited a few of them, and they came into the market with very, very cheap price and heavy marketing support behind, which is at an unsustainable level that the three top players have decided not to follow, because it's economically not making sense at all. So for the moment, it's something we're taking some distances from. And what we are doing there in terms of actions is refocusing on our core competencies, looking at relaunching the product with the new innovations, leveraging the platform of innovation of our FlexFit diapers that we have in the rest of the group, which is being relaunched into Turkey. We are also playing the mix over there, specifically leveraging the very nice position we have in incontinence. Remember, we are the number one there by far in incontinence in a highly growing market. And there, we're continuing our momentum, continuing to gain shares. We are leading innovations. We're introducing the Ado Pants. We are the first producer of Ado Pants into the Turkish markets, which give us a hedge there. We are also introducing the Lightinco platforms that we have developed, that Charles was mentioning before, that we have developed for healthcare initially, and we are reapplying that into Turkey. So this is helping mitigating a part of the baby part, but the baby side of the market is still the biggest one, so it's a drag for the Turkish business unit. The good news on the other side is that the rest of the MENA is actually performing pretty well. You're looking at Algeria, we're gaining share. We are progressing there on a double digits growth. We've got Pakistan, where we have a very strong position there as number two into the market. So the MENA divisions have got, because of its diversified geographic and also portfolios of product, is in the positions to mitigate the baby diapers situations, which for the moment is pretty tough, with not at a short term material light at the end of the tunnel. But for the moment, we are kind of stabilizing the position on the baby diapers before we can get to growth again. So that's on the main arm. And then on the distribution cost, Jacques mentioned it. It was pretty clear.
So just before you get into the distribution cost here, on the MENA, what is also very important is the fact that we have part of MENA business that is euro-denominated. And in fact, the Turkish business is in Turkish lira, so should not be very happy about that. But the weight of the Turkish business, is even within MENA, is reducing. So even if it's, as Thierry described, challenging on the baby category, it's balanced, as Thierry highlighted, by the Inco category, and it's really balanced by the, as rightly Thierry said, is not only the some markets that are not euro-denominated, that are Algeria and Pakistan, but also the exports that are euro-denominated. So the net is, it's minor in the grand scheme of the ONTEX. Sorry.
So on the distribution cost, there you've got the main driver is the one we mentioned several times, is the hurdles we're facing in terms of capacity, which have forced us to reshuffle our production around on several instances. So we're not delivering product from the most efficient place. While we are optimizing the capacity which is available. So our intercompany cost has not been fully optimized so far, and it will continue until capacity will catch up. Also, when you are short in capacity, what happens is that you short deliver customers, so you deliver in several instances, several orders, which actually is sub-optimizing the transportation means that you are using. And thirdly, you've got the impact of the outsourcing, because while we are investing in putting additional capacity, which has a longer time, we are signing and we have formed partners to help us in the meantime to bridge the gap until capacity comes online. And this is at higher cost, and most of the time coming from pretty far. But it's pretty important to have these solutions to prepare the arrival of the machineries. So how does it look going forward? Jacques mentioned it. Not material changes in the first half of the year. This will start to unravel more on the second half of the year, but not totally fully, because it's going to be on a step by step way.
But to come back on that, did we talk about, let's say, 5 million of additional cost in 2017, or 10 million, or less than that?
No, Jacques was mentioning 24 bps of impact on the logistics side, and this is the order of magnitude.
And maybe one question, you said in the beginning of your presentation, Charles, on, let's say, on Mexico and what you do to acquisitions. Could you give us, I know you don't give normally comments on margins on regions, but could you tell us that indeed in terms of margins, Mexico is now above group average?
So I will not tell you that Mexico is above group average, because it is not. So. And but what I'll tell you is, if you look at Kimberly Clark of Mexico report, it's a listed company, so you get access to the data. You look at the performance, and I encourage you to look at their reports. It has been really impacted in 2017 in terms of profitability for this business. That's the market leader. I'm very happy, because if I look at what the team achieved in 2017, is they achieved market share gains, they achieve top-line growth, and they, on a profitability standpoint, they have been able to manage it steadily with, I would say, highly moderate improvements. But again, in my journey, I'm not worried, because given all the headwinds that that the market received, including competitors, but everybody, I'm very confident that as soon as the headwind slows down, then there will be this continuation. If I remind you, some of the levels is the channel mix is very important in profitability. So we are still much stronger on retail than wholesale, and we are working on this. So this will have an impact over the long run. The entry into other categories is very important. I don't want to disclose too many things, but the team is working on launching new products and developing the brands in some categories. And there is innovation as well. As I mentioned, it's not only baby tips, but in different products. So this is very strong in terms of the pillars of the success of the coming years. And again, just bear in mind that there's still one little challenge, I would call it, is the Forex in Mexico. As you probably noted, the Mexican peso is not in its strong period right now, especially if you compare with the level at the acquisition time. So all of this combined, this is also giving a strong indication that the team performed extremely well. Now, it's not at the average of, to make a short answer, it's not at the average of the group yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have available for questions. I would now like to hand the call back to Mr. Bozes for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you to all of you for the interest you have witnessed in Ontex since many quarters. We really look forward to making further progress on our transformation of the company in 2018 while working through the short-term challenges that have been highlighted. So you can count on us in terms of strong focus in order to deliver. I wish you a great day, and I'm looking forward to meeting you or some of you face-to-face in the coming weeks. Thanks a lot.
This concludes Ontex's full year 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.